best day ever. What has that been for you, your best day ever? I suppose it depends upon your quality of life. Some days have more quality than others. Or is it more about your state of mind? I tend to believe that the Bible tells us it's about priorities. What is it in our life that demands our attention? Well, if you're like most, the answer is everything. Everything demands my attention. Every single waking second, everything important and unimportant demands my attention. So then the next intelligent question is, what is it that we should be giving our attention to? This past week, I took on a couple of projects at home. My daughter, Hannah, will tell you that clutter drives me crazy, although we live in a cluttered house. So I decided to declutter my kitchen pantry. It was beginning to feel like every time I looked in it, I was starting to feel stressed out. And I was looking for something I knew was in there that was right in front of me, but I couldn't find it. And the way it started was I was simply looking for Campbell's soup. That's all I was looking for, just a can of Campbell's soup. And it had gotten buried in all the clutter. I knew it was in there. And this shouldn't be a thing, because soup is a base for a lot of things that I make. If you cook things, soup is a base. So it should be, you know, somewhere where you can find it, right? It's important. It shouldn't be buried. Growing up, my parents' pantry did not look like this. I say lightly, they raised a slob. Ugh. But I also realized that my pantry these days is not much different than a lot of other people's pantries. We've gotten into the habit of cluttering up our spaces and cluttering up our lives with things that lack value. And I don't understand it. The irony is that we really do yearn for simplicity. We do. We don't yearn for more. But yet that's what we do. We collect more in our yearn for simplicity. We're so in the habit of filling ourselves with more and more and more stuff to feed our temporary urge. Stuff that has absolutely no sustaining value. That jumbo box of Pop-Tarts? What sustaining value does that have on my health? More and more studies have been done in regards to why we feel like we need more stuff. In 1960, an average American family was living in 63% less space than we are now. And they felt like they had plenty. They had the closets, tiny, tiny closets. The amount of clothes that the average person had, you know, a couple pairs of pants, maybe a dress outfit, and some shirts. And two pairs of shoes, dress shoes and not dress shoes. We feel like we need more stuff. A recent statistic says that we have rented storage to the extent that self-storage industry right now is worth $22 billion a year. 50 years ago, this was not a thing. You could say that we have more than what we need, but I would challenge that and say that we have a surplus of what we don't need. We're starving for for what we really need. And this isn't just about stuff, obviously. It's not just about stuff. It's about our activities and our thoughts and our relationships. It's about everything in our lives, really. How do we examine all of these things and decide what's really important? What is it that's life-giving? What is it that is necessary, and what will bring us peace? It's time to take a careful inventory of our lives and think about what really feeds us. Now, it sounds like this sermon series is going in the direction of letting go, but actually, contrary to that, it's about adding something into your life that's going to change everything. Adding simplicity. And yes, that might look like letting some things go that don't serve you anymore. That might be what it looks like, but it'll be more about adding value to your life. And along with adding value, that would be adding joy and purpose and peace. So the first thing I have to do when I clean out a cluttered space is determine what is truly important and what is just a distraction. What fits in with where I want to go and what I want to achieve? And what needs to go away so that I can better focus on the good stuff? And when I make that determination and make necessary changes in my life, everything seems to improve. I open my pantry door and I go, ah. It's like the angels sing, right? Oh my gosh, and there's the soup. See, it was right there. So I can easily find what I need. Now it's accessible. And I can also plan ahead. I can, at a glance, I can look and see what I have and see what it is I need, and I can make plans. See? Simple. Now, this is an important practice in our spiritual lives as well. We're pulled at from many thoughts and activities, most of which are electronic now. We clutter our lives with mind-numbing stuff. How do these things feed us spiritually? And yeah, you know, I'm no different from you. I really enjoy punching out mentally and letting my mind go beep for a while. But how do these things feed us spiritually? If we're to look at that timeline, that eternal timeline, how do those things add value to eternity? How do those things bring us closer to our Creator? Like the can of soup I was searching for, we wonder why we can't find God when we're looking for Him. He's right there. God is right there. God is buried behind the 9 packages of outdated taco seasoning. Our scripture reminds us to seek first the kingdom of God. To seek first means to prioritize. It means to eliminate those things that get in the way of our relationship with God, the things that aren't life-giving. God desires our company. What do we settle for instead? In place of that space that we could be experiencing the holy, what do we put there instead? And what would it look like to take a careful inventory of how we spend our thoughts and our time and our energy and make some changes, what would that look like? And what would it look like to prioritize God? Our life is but a tiny grain of sand on the shore of eternity. And Jesus reminds us in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life forever and ever and ever into eternity. Perish. Perish is what happens at the end of our mortal life on earth. We perish. Well, at least our bodies do. Eternal life, that's the vast expanse of what comes next. The part that we don't see. The part that we have to have faith to believe is there. It's the fascinating, endless time where fear and grief and pain end, and pure light and joy and peace begins. So we consider how then should we best invest our time and energy as we look at the future. And not just this future, but this future. Our eternal future. Should we pour our time and our energy and our thoughts into this tiny drop of time called physical life? Granted, we are living here and now. And yes, there are important things to think about. But remember that there's a whole life coming after this. And we can invest all of ourselves into something much deeper, something sustaining, something eternal. We can invest ourselves into a relationship with the Most High God who was and is to come. God, who can not only transform our lives now, but also transform us and propel us into the eternal, where joy is never ending. Yes, when we focus on the eternal, we actually align ourselves with God's purpose for us. And we add something to our lives that is transformational. It transforms our mindset into a peace that passes all understanding. And you've seen this with people. It's crazy. They are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but yet they somehow rise above. It's amazing. Today, as you leave, I invite you to take another rock from the back. And on this one, write prioritize. You can keep this rock with the rock that you wrote on last week. And if you weren't here, feel free to take a rock for last week and write God on it. And put these somewhere as you build your tower over the next several weeks, representing simplicity, to help you focus on how to create that simple life. Let them nudge you into thinking about how to prioritize things in your life as you focus on the one who sustains us here and after this life. As we continue our sermon series and offer tools to help you live this simplified life in 2017, We'll be working with a calendar in the upcoming weeks. You're welcome to bring your own planning calendar, or we will be providing calendars for you. We'll also have powerful upcoming growth groups in the spring that will go alongside what we're talking about in this coming year. We walk together as we develop our faith and witness to an all-powerful God. Praise God that we have this family of faith to walk with us in this journey of simplicity. Amen.